My name is Jerry, and this is the Wild Eye Podcast. Getting started with birding. Hi, everybody. Now, in this episode, I'm going to hand over to Don. He is one of our newest Wild Eye guides, who's also a very passionate birder. And he's going to break down everything you need to know about birding. Now, he's going to speak about everything from spotting your first backyard birds to tracking rare species across Africa. And he'll be sharing some practical tips on choosing gear, learning bird families, and why patience will beat luck every time. He also shares a story of how a romantic picnic at a sewage treatment plant actually led to pretty incredible bird sightings. Now, whether you're safari bound or just curious about these creatures outside your window, this episode will change the way you see the world of birding. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody. My name is Donovan Cross, and I am a guide for Wild Eye. Today, I want to talk to you about one of my greatest passions, and it's a passion that I definitely share with the minority of people on this planet, and that is birding. And in this podcast, I want to cover a few different things about birding, things like what exactly birding is and why birding, why is that a fun thing to do? And if you are someone that's sort of wondering how to get into birding, we're going to look at how and ways to make it easier for yourself to start off with. And then if you're a birder that's sort of starting to understand the different families of birds, and you're just struggling with the specific species within the families, we'll look at how to become better, also just how to spot birds a little bit better and where to look for them. And then lastly, we'll touch on birding photography, which is a whole new and different challenge in itself. It's so different to photograph birds than it is to photograph mammals for most parts. So yeah, first, what is birding? It's pretty self-explanatory. It's when you go and look for birds. This could be a dedicated trip. You could travel somewhere to go look for birds, or it could just be a walk in your garden and see what garden birds you have around. The fun thing about this is that you can even do birding in the city where you live. So many birds have made cities their home. And I think it's a lot of people think that, yeah, in a city you only get doves. And that's how I was before I started, actively becoming a birder, is I thought that, oh, you get an eagle, you get a dove, and that's sort of where it ends. And maybe a duck that floats on the lakes. And you couldn't be more wrong. There's so many different bird species. Even within doves, you get different species of dove. And once you really understand what to look for, it becomes more fun. It really actually has this way to become an addiction. Eventually, if you keep a bird list, you become so desperate to just stick another bird on that list that you will actually start spending money to travel to go and find these birds. Well, that's what I've done over the last few years of my life. Why birding? Why do it? There's a few reasons that go actually without saying, but it forces you to go places. It takes you also not just to places, but some breathtaking destinations. I think my wife, she's still becoming an avid birder. I'm trying my best to get her there. She's come along well already though. But she actually said this the one time, is that the nice thing about me liking birds is that I'm taking us to some beautiful places, like forests. There's so many forests within South Africa that we would have never visited if it wasn't me targeting a specific bird species. And then obviously once you're there, you make a whole weekend out of it, for example, and you stay at a nice lodge and you do these beautiful hikes in the hope of finding the target bird that you went there for in the first place. So that's the first thing. It makes you travel to places that you've never thought you would travel. Another story that my wife could actually tell you is I told her that I'm going to stick her for a romantic picnic. But I asked her, can we also do some birding while we do it? And she's like, yeah, no problem. And that day I heard that this was in our university town of Potchefstroom, which is just a university town. There's not much happening else around that area. It's also just a flat piece of earth. And there's no forests or beautiful big trees or anything like that hanging around that area. But I actually took her to the local sewage works or the sewage farm, which she was not very pleased. She wasn't very pleased, to say the least. But what was nice about it is that we actually got to see so many birds because of the insects that the sewage attracts. There's so many birds that then hunt them. So it was really actually special in terms of finding bird species. I guess the smell was something we had to endure, which we did. We're still alive and well. So that all went okay. Yeah, so the nice thing about a few coming on safari, for example, to any African country, is what I like about birding is that it sort of gives you something to do in between. Yes, as photographers, we hate it if somebody wants to stop us for every single bird or for the same bird 100 times. Especially this bird, the first bird that comes to mind, if I think about people wanting to stop 1,000,000 times for the same bird, is a lilac-breasted roller. Yes, I get it. It's an absolutely beautiful bird, but all of them look the same. Male, female, doesn't matter. And you get people that want to stop for every single one. And I guess that could get a bit frustrating, especially if you're a non-birder, because you've now seen this bird once. Why stop for it 100 times? So yes, I get that. And I understand that could frustrate people. But what is nice about it is that in between the lion sighting that you're at now, and now the next thing, a leopard gets called in that's on the other side of the park, and you're going to now be driving there, because that's what the guy decided to do. What's nice about birding is it's something to look for in between. There's always birds. Doesn't matter where you are in the park or even what the temperature is doing, there'll always be birds to look for. And I think once you've acquired that mindset, it opens up a lot more for you. Then there's no such thing as an unsuccessful safari. Does that make sense? Because if you're targeting different birds and you're happy to see whatever birds, then there's always something to look for. You know what I mean? It's if you look for that one specific leopard and it's rainy weather and leopards don't like to move around in rain a lot, for example, then you're going to struggle and you might feel like this safari was a bit of a disappointment. That can't happen with birds, because if you look in the right places, there'll always be something to find. And that's what's so exciting about it. And then another thing about birding that just is so fun is to actually make a game for yourself about it. Like if you keep a life list of birds, it'll become an addiction to tick off those birds. I mean, in the beginning, it's easy. Especially the first 150 to even 200 birds on your list will be very easy, because there's like, 6 or 7 different dove species, for example, and you'll see them pretty easily. Although you get some dove species that I haven't even seen yet. So there's some doves that are really, really rare, and you might not even know that yet. But other dove species are a lot more common. And so, yeah, there's so many common birds that you'll get to 100 or 150 quite quickly. But then after that, you'll realize that, listen, you've probably seen, 90% of the birds in your area now. So that means you need to now travel to a different area. And that's where the exciting part starts, because now you're going somewhere to go look for different birds to get more on that list, to get to, for example, from 200 birds to 300 birds or from 300 to 400 birds. And now it's actually going to start taking some research. And I think that's where I want to go now to my next point, is sort of how to look for these birds or how to get into it. We'll get to getting into it soon. But the research is so exciting. You're going to actually have to read up about the area and what birds you could come across in this area. But then you're going to have to dig in a bit deeper than just that. You're going to actually have to start reading up about the specific bird, like what is their behavioral traits. Like, do they like to sit right at the top of the canopy of the trees, or are they medium? Do they sit in the medium heights of the tree, or do they stay low to the ground? You get some birds, like an African broadbill, for example, that mostly sit about eye level. So as a human stands about eye level, that's roughly where an African broadbill will be sitting in. So if you are looking for this African broadbill, for example, and you're looking at the tops of the trees, you might never find it, because chances of it being up there is super, super slim. That's just not their behavior or their habitat. So they stick a bit lower to the ground. And again, once you start looking or digging as deep as that into birding, it becomes a lot more fun. So we've spoken about sort of why do the birding. It's going to get you to travel. It's going to give you something to do on safari in between the mammal sightings or the high-profile mammal sightings. But then how do you get into it? So let's say now I'm going on safari next year, for example, February, and I'm listening to your podcast, Donovan, but I don't know anything about birds. How will I even get into it? Well, the first thing that you'll need to do is buy yourself a bird book or download a bird app. The one that I'm using for Southern Africa is called the Roberts Bird App. And it's I really enjoy it because it's got beautiful pictures of all the birds. It also has their sounds, so the sounds that they make, and distribution. And a lot of people overlook the distribution map. I've had so many people come to me and say, Don, yes, we just saw this bird in this reserve. How exciting is that? Then I think to myself, oh, but that bird that you told me you saw, they don't really occur in that area. So please just look at your distribution map and make sure that that was the bird. Maybe it was a subspecies of that species and not that exact one that you thought. So it's very important to look at the distribution maps as well when you go birding. And so how to get into it, I would start. So yeah, you'll get your app or your bird book. And then another thing that's really important to invest in is a good pair of binoculars. You can imagine some bird species are tiny, really, really small, and so hard to see detail on them. And often in birds, you need to see the detail, like, for example, a ring around the eye of a bird, or like the color of the beak. For example, a mangrove or a woodland kingfisher, they look extremely similar. The only difference that is between them is on their beaks. So you need to look like at smaller details like that, for example. So investing in a good pair of binoculars would really, really help you becoming a birder. And then the nitty-gritty stuff on how to get into it is if you now open this bird book, you will see that there are hundreds of birds, and that could be extremely overwhelming. But what there are fewer of is different families of birds. So that's what I would focus on to start with. I would focus on different families of birds. So you get, for example, eagles versus falcons versus kestrels. And then smaller birds, you get thrushes versus sparrows versus starlings. And then you get ground birds like spurfowl or franklins. So if you can identify that, if you see a bird and you can recognize that shape, you're already eliminating 70 or 80% of the birds in that book. So let's say, for example, I see a bird and it looks like the shape of a starling. Starlings can be similar shape to things like thrushes. So now already, if I see this bird, I know to now page to the thrushes section of this book or to the starling section of this book. So can you see how I've already eliminated all the other hundreds of families just to now two? And within this two, I can then try and page through that and see, okay, this one looked the most like a glossy starling, for example. And I think that's the easiest way to do it. So start off with the families to narrow it down for yourself. And within the families, then try and identify what bird you saw. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's how the way I did it. I learned the families first, and eventually you just start knowing the individual birds within the families, and that's when it becomes really, really fun. Then when you see a bird, you'll immediately recognize it, or you'll bring it down to two birds, and then you have to sort of really look at the details to try and find those birds. Obviously, I'm making it sound a bit easier than it is. You get bird species or bird families like the lark family or the cisticula family, and those birds all look identical. It's really, really hard to tell the difference between them. In fact, there's different bird books called LBJ, which is Little Brown Job, bird books that literally help you with those similar looking birds. I even get them wrong today. It really takes time. With those birds, it's best to take a photograph of them to try and identify them a bit later when you have more time and the bird's not sort of hopping around and flying away. So rather, if you see and you recognize that it's a lark, it might be better to just quickly grab a photo of it and then try and identify it afterwards with your app, because they can be really, really tricky. Even for me, that's now an experienced birder, I still often get those wrong or struggle to identify them. Even if I didn't get a good shot of them, it's so hard to identify them. But you'll narrow them down to two or three within the species, but to get the exact bird is where it really gets hard. So yeah, that's what I would say and on how to get into the birding. Now, let's say you've gotten into this birding thing and you're starting to enjoy it, actually, and you get to see, because you'll see the natural thing that'll happen if you start off with birding is your eye will catch the colorful ones and you'll realize how many beautiful and colorful ones there are. So you'll focus on things like kingfishers, rollers, bush shrikes, those kind of birds that have a lot of color. And rightly so, you need to focus on those birds. They're absolutely beautiful. And eventually, you'll overlook those birds and try and find those pale ones that look very similar, because those would be the ones that you haven't ticked off on your list yet. Remember in the beginning of this podcast, I mentioned that the list becomes everything. So I think that's the important bits of how to get into it. Now, how do you become better at it? So is there a way to improve your birding? And there certainly is. And the first of that will be to train your eyes for movement. So stop trying to spot a bird in itself, but start looking for movement. Especially those smaller birds like twin spots. They're tiny, tiny birds, but they're quite busy birds. So they hop around quite a bit. So what you would want to do is if you can hear a twin spot calling, and we'll get to that now, but if you can hear a twin spot calling, it might be worthwhile to just go towards that bush where you heard the sound coming from and just sit very still and look for movement within that bush. Once you have that movement, and take your binoculars and scan and turn that focus wheel of the binoculars to really scan through those thickets to then actually see where that movement was. And if you can then see the bird to identify which twin spot it was, or firefinch or whatever it was that you saw. Another thing, and this goes for all things on safari, and as all of our listeners would know, but birding takes an extreme amount of patience. You're going to have to sit very, very quietly, very still, especially if it's a shy bird. The thing about birds is they are curious. So if you heard this bird and you know it's coming from this particular bush, but it's not coming out, something like a gorgeous bushrike, who, by the way, in the name says it all. It is an absolute gorgeous bird. But they'll be inside of a thicket and they might not come out while you're there. But if you just keep on sitting there super, super patiently, they will come out. I actually have a story about that not too long ago, about a month and a half or 2 months ago. We were in the garden route, my wife and I, and we went to the George Botanical Garden in the look for what we call a Knysna warbler. Quite a shy bird and a really rare bird as well. Not an easy one to find at all. And I heard it calling. I told my wife, listen, we need to go off the beaten track here and into the forest to try and find this bird because I can hear it calling. So we sort of went off running in that direction, and then it just didn't come out. But I could hear it, and I narrowed it down to one particular bush. Couldn't see it for the life of me. It was sitting extremely still, and I just couldn't find any sign of it except for it calling. So I told her, okay, we're going to have to sit there. And we probably sat for about 27 or 28 minutes, and that's a super long time to sit in one place very still, before it actually hopped out and we had the most unbelievable view of it. So it takes a lot of patience. And then another thing that's so, so important, and I think a lot of people don't do this, even avid birders or people that call themselves keen birders, they miss this trick, and that's to prepare. You really need to prepare, and you can prepare and do your homework before you go on a birding trip. And what I mean with this is, if you're going to a specific area and you know that you're targeting a few different birds, let's say you're going to northern KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa, and there's a few different birds like a pink-throated twin spot that you are targeting in that area, it is vital to know that bird's sound, the noise or the call that it makes, the song that it sings, because by just relying on spotting that bird, you won't. Those birds are so, so shy, and they hop around in the low parts of shrubs. So to really, you'll be extremely lucky to spot them. But they are very noisy birds. They call or sing a lot. So if you recognize that call, if you know that call off by heart, and you recognize it when you're driving in the safari vehicle, you can tell your guy to stop. You can hear a pink-throated twin spot or a twin spot, and then he will stop. And then once the vehicle is switched off, you can then actually listen again, and it'll call again. And then you'll narrow down to a specific shrub that you think it's in. And that's when you can get off the vehicle and go sit a bit closer, and then hope to actually see that movement that we spoke about a bit earlier, and then scan on it with your binoculars. So preparation is key to know the bird sounds into this area. And I mean, you'll forget it again, but that's okay. Once you've learned it for that specific trip that you're going on, or that region that you're going in to go bird, that's enough. I mean, get that bird, tick it off of your list. And then, I mean, obviously it's nice to try and remember it, but if you then forget it, then who cares? You've gotten that bird, and that's what's special. Another thing is also to sort of, it's worth understanding the behavior of the specific bird that you're looking for. Like I mentioned, that African broadbill earlier, they normally sit around eye height. Apologies. Sorry about that. Oh, I'm going to go again. Something got stuck in my throat there. My apologies. But anyway, if you're going to look for an African broadbill, you now know to sort of look eye height, and that's roughly where they'll be sitting at. But then another thing that's important is you know that that bird does its display, which is like it takes off and flies in a small little circle, flaps its wings, and then drops down to the same place where it was perched initially. They do this quite a few times, but the important thing is they mostly only do it just before sunrise or during sunrise, so only early morning. So if that is a bird you're looking for, it's probably not going to call for the rest of the day. You will need to get up early before the sun, go to the forest where you are, and then listen out for that display call. Once you've heard that display call, that's when you need to walk into that certain direction or specific direction to then try and hopefully see that bird. It's the only way you're going to really find it. To rely on luck to see something like an African broadbill, oh, you're going to have a lot of that luck to then actually see it. So I think it's pretty important for you to understand birding behavior or the behavior of different birds. And again, something like that app that I mentioned earlier, the Roberts Bird app, is a very, very helpful tool to actually read more up about the birds. That's where I didn't know that an African broadbill displays only in the early morning. I mean, how possibly can you know like details about every single bird? No. I know that if I go to this area, there's a chance that I might see this African broadbill. Then I go onto my app and I search for African broadbill there, and there's so much info on that bird in that app, and that's where you will read that this bird is only active. See, other smart people have already done all the hard work. You now just need to go and read it and then apply it once you're in that region. So understanding the behavior is super, super important. And then my last point that I want to make is birding photography. If you're happy with photos that you take of lions and leopards and all of the animals, then birding could be a very good option for you to advance your photography. I'm by no means a very good birding photographer. I enjoy the birds, but I really struggle to photograph them. I always try. The first thing that you need to understand is birding photography is hard because most of the pretty birds especially are quite shy. And I'm not including lilac-breasted roller in this. They are pretty easy to photograph because they are always out in the open and perch perfectly, and they sit still for quite a long time. So it's pretty easy to get nice photos of lilac-breasted rollers. But again, things like the twin spot or the African broadbill that I mentioned earlier in this podcast, those are super difficult to photograph because they're normally in low light areas in forests. So you can imagine, first of all, how tough it is to photograph in low light conditions, but then add to that foliage, a lot of foliage. It's not easy to focus on those birds. So you'll have to then change your focus mode to spot metering. You need to have spot metering on set up on your camera, because if you're going to be focusing on too much within your frame, you're going to be focusing on the branches and not the bird. You'll definitely need to have spot metering active. And then, of course, what's super important is a super fast shutter speed, especially if that bird takes off. I mean, you want to have every detail. You want every feather to be in focus. So have a nice, fast shutter speed. But other than that, I mean, the thing about photography and especially birds is it's all about having fun. If you miss that shot, that's okay. It's just worth being out there and finding the birds that you're looking for. And this podcast is, again, more in terms of why birding is fun and why there's so many people that think birding is so, so boring. But once you actually start doing it, it really becomes a game or an addiction. I don't know if you guys know, but remember a few years back how Pokemon Go was such a big thing. Everywhere you just saw teenagers walking with their heads down on their phone trying to find the next Pokemon. Well, I guess this is what birding, a more natural version of Pokemon Go, is birding, because that's how I am. You know, I'm with my binoculars walking in forests trying to find the next bird for my list. It's great fun. But I hope that this podcast sort of explained the topic of birding a bit easier, or made it a bit easier for you and less overwhelming. And please feel free to get in touch with me if you are wondering where to go bird, especially if you're wanting to come to Africa. What spots in Africa is good for birding? I mean, again, it's a very unfair question, because I would say Namibia would be an incredible spot to bird, for example, but you won't get 150 birds necessarily in your trip, but you'll get some special ones. But if you then go to a place like the north of Kruger National Park, you might get 200 birds, but there might be more common ones there. So it all depends. So let me know And how you can get in touch with me is by emailing me, donovan@wild-eye.com, or reach out to me on my Instagram, Donovan Cross with four S's at the end of Cross, is my handle on Instagram. It's been lovely talking to you guys, and then until next time, thanks for listening to me, and I hope that you have learned something today. Goodbye for now.
And there we go. If you have any questions for Don, one more time, don@wildeye.com or Donovan Cross on all the social media platforms. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for lending us your ears. We'll chat to you in the next episode. My name is Jerry. I'm from Wild Eye. Bye for now.